The reading tonight is taken from Luke 18, verse 35. Luke 18, verse 35. And it's the story of the healing of a blind beggar. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. And they told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Jesus, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, Recover your sight, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Amen. There's similar stories to this. One of them names a man called Bartimaeus, and they're found in Matthew 20 and in Mark chapter 10. The story's rooted in history. You can go to Jericho today. It's a mile or so from the old city of Jericho. You know the story of Joshua and the battle of Jericho, and the walls fell down, which is told in Joshua chapter 6. For your interest, Mark Antony once gave Jericho as a gift to Cleopatra. It's a story. The story of the Good Samaritan was also set around the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. In Luke 10:29, it says, "But he desired to justify himself. He said to Jesus, 'Who's my neighbor?' Jesus replied, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell amongst robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him dead.'" Also, the story around Jericho to happen just after this was the story of Zacchaeus. It said in Luke 19, "He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector and rich." Jericho, lots of things have happened in Jericho. I was in the army in 1967, and I watched the Seven-Day War, where a number of the Arab states attacked Israel. Not making any particular political comment, but I watched as the in an ops room, as Israel was under pressure, and in a few days, it had taken Jerusalem, but also it had taken Jericho as well. So great things have happened around this area, but I would suggest to you this: nothing as great as a blind man being healed. We have a God who deals with nations and the world, and yet, amongst them all the millions of people on the earth, God still cares for individual people. He can still see individual people and talk to them. You know, in this day and age when things are so impersonal, we need to remember the Christian story is one of a God that knows people by name and knows people as individuals. So, it's a story about an opportunity that's taken. An opportunity that's taken. So let's look at the story. I don't know what that blind beggar might have thought on the day he went out begging, what he might get. Maybe he would meet a lot of people who weren't terribly generous and he might get nothing. He may get some money, enough to live on for the next few days. And yet, I wonder what he expected that day. And about you, I've seen beggars. I think some of the most professional beggars I've seen have been around a cathedral in Strasbourg. They looked professional beggars. I've certainly seen some aggressive beggars, and there's a law out now, isn't there, against aggressive begging. And I've certainly been accosted by the occasional Eastern European person begging quite aggressively and challenging you. Some take a softer line and have a dog. You know, ah, oh, nice dog. Always give them some money. But what sort of man was this blind beggar? I'm sure he never expected a day like this. You know, just to put it in context, what we see of blind people today. I know someone quite well who's blind. She has various benefits to help her in her life. She has a very jazzy computer that reads her emails to her and she can speak into, and she has a loving home that looks after her, and she works for the Red Cross and endeavours to give back into society. You know, this poor beggar didn't live in that sort of day and age. He was begging for, no doubt, his life, for food, and just to live. However, this day turned out to be the greatest day of his life, because he took an opportunity when Jesus was passing by. He met Jesus and he was healed. But he did use all his faculties that he did have. He couldn't use his eyes, but he did what he could. He heard the crowd. He says in verse 35, he inquired, what does it mean, all these people passing by? He cried out with his voice to Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He took the help of others as he made his way to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that Jesus commanded him to be brought to him in verse 40. He couldn't heal himself, but he certainly knew, he believed someone could. The crowd said that it was Jesus of Nazareth that was passing by. But he knew that Jesus was, and believed that he was, the Son of David. Isaiah 9, very well known verses, verse 6 and 7 says this, For unto us a child is born, unto us a child is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. No end on the throne of David and over the king on his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And in Matthew chapter 1, verses 6 and 16, we have those list of family trees that shows that Jesus was indeed David's son. And then Jesus said to the man, What can I do for you? He said, Lord, let me recover my sight. And he was healed. He followed Jesus and he glorified God and praised God. What a day What a story. He took an opportunity when it was there and he was healed. Secondly, what can we learn from this story about taking opportunities? The man wanted to know what the fuss was about and when Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. You know, it's good to ask questions. We live in a time which is designated by BC before Christ and AD after Christ, Anno Domini. There's still a crowd around the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there might have been dozens or hundreds. Today, the people that worship Christ is millions. And you should really ask, what's this fuss? What's all this noise? What are these people looking to the Lord Jesus for and talking about him? As a church, we seek to encourage people to learn about Jesus. We have services, Bible studies. Christianity explores it, looks at the basic things in Christian life and who God is. You know, there was a small crowd now then, but millions now. So it's good to ask questions. We can certainly learn from that. And anyone today that doesn't really understand about the Lord Jesus, ask questions, find the answers. As the crowd was, the crowd said it was Jesus Christ was passing by. But one thing we need to grasp above all things, that these were true events, but also they're present events. We've had communion tonight and we acknowledge that Jesus is present with us. Christ is here by his Spirit. And it said that he not only passed by Jericho, what Jesus was passing by, but also in Revelation in 2 verse 1, it said that Jesus walked amongst the churches. Jesus was present in his church and he's present today. And in Matthew 18 verse 2, Jesus himself said, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." So we're not just dealing with a true story that's a past reality. This man saw him as a king. What is he in your life? Jesus passes by. Jesus is present here tonight. And also understand who he is. He is the person that created the universe, created me, created you. All things, John said, all things were made through him, and not anything was made that was made, which includes you and me and the whole universe. So the man said, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." He saw that he was no ordinary man. So don't be mistaken that for Christ as a historical figure. Christ was a historical figure and is present still now. This man cried out to the Lord Jesus, and he cried out all the more when they told him to be quiet. In other words, he shouted when he didn't get any attention. The text said he screamed out. He shouted really loud. Now it's not perhaps that dignified to shout and scream. I think I'd say to that, blow dignity. You know, you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But you say, well, I'm not in I'm not blind. I haven't got those needs. Listen to what Paul says in Corinthians 4, verse 4. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the mind of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. If you can't see Christ, if you don't know Christ, then indeed you are blind. Do you see heaven? Do you see Christ dying for you? Do you see Christ rising again on the third day? If not, the diagnosis is that you're blind. What stops you from coming to know Christ? What stops us coming to know Christ? In this man's case, one of the things that people try to stop him, it says they rebuked him, telling him to be silent. It's not just the crowd who tell us to be silent, but let me tell you, some of our closest friends tell us not to search after the Lord Jesus Christ. Our family, the people who we work with. Things don't change. John Bunyan lived in the 17th century. He was put in Bedford jail and told to be silent, not to preach. He didn't have a license. But while he was there, he wrote the story of Pilgrim's Progress. I've been to Bedford jail, by the way, and they let me out, I have to say. But when the doors clanged, it wasn't a very nice feeling. Just a pretty rough old jail, isn't it? But anyway, in the story of Pilgrim's Progress, Pilgrim, who later becomes Christian, starts on a journey that leads him to the Lord Jesus. He's been pointed in that direction. But as he starts this journey to try and find the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what Pilgrim's Progress says. But his wife and children perceived it and began to cry after him to return. His neighbours, some of them mocked, others threatened, two resolved to fetch him back by force. There's still people out there that will, maybe more subtly than force, but they will make your life difficult if you look to the Lord Jesus Christ and want to know more about Christianity. Let me tell you this. They told, some advice isn't worth taking. Some advice isn't worth taking. And when they rebuked him and told him to be quiet, that advice was not worth taking. And if anyone says, forget about finding out about more about Christ, learning more about him, following him, that's poor advice. Just forget it. And just to say, Christian's answer to this was to put his fingers in his ears and shout, life, life, eternal life, and run. And sometimes running is the best policy, you know. Life can be hard. So what stops us from coming to Christ, asking for healing and forgiveness? The blind man, with the help of other people, got to Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you to do the same. So what sort of person is Jesus? The blind man believed he was king of Israel, God's Messiah. Jesus asked this man a question. What do you want me to do for you? Now Jesus was a busy person. He was on his way to Jerusalem. Just a few days, weeks later, He was about to die on a cross, rise again from the dead, to rescue a world. And yet he was willing to stop for a moment and speak to a man. You should get to know that kind of God, who's willing to stop for that moment. Some people are so important and so busy, you can't talk to them. And some people you talk to don't listen. You know. But this shows Jesus still had, 17 miles still to go to Jerusalem. He still got, still needed to get there. And yet he was willing to take the time to stop and talk with this man, with me. Still willing to talk to us. The last we hear of this man is he's glorifying God. Who knows what adventures lay ahead? He was part of some great events of history that would take place in a few days. And he'd come to know Christ. Just as an aside, we live in a world that's increasingly got a lot of people who are immigrants, refugees. It's difficult sometimes, whether you're open-hearted or you're skeptical about people. I got this sort of quote from Matthew Henry that was, I think, showed some good common sense. It said this, just a short few lines. In talking about the blind man, such objects of charity by the wayside ought not to be overlooked by us. Christ had cast a favourable eye upon a common beggar, and though they are cheats amongst them, yet they must not therefore be all thought such. And the last point. You individually should take the opportunity. If we think Christ passed by in Jericho, Christ is here tonight, then we should take the opportunity while Christ is, you can hear Christ's voice, you should take the opportunity to listen to him, to come to him. A minister from the Church of England was preaching on this passage, and fairly radically, he thought he would go out, and he would ask the same question that Jesus asked, a bit of background knowledge before he preached the sermon. And the question is, Jesus asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" Well, these are some of the answers that he got. As you might expect, some asked, "What would God do for you?" Well, Christ do for you. Some asked for the lottery numbers. Strangely enough, someone who was partially sighted said, "I'd like to be healed." So, life hasn't changed that much. One man said to this minister, "Nothing. I don't want anything. What can I do for you? Nothing." Now, if this man had, when Jesus said, "What can I do for you?" If Jesus said, "Nothing," he wouldn't have been healed. He wouldn't have been able to praise God. He wouldn't have had that, been part of that family of brothers and sisters on their way to Jerusalem. He wouldn't know Jesus personally. He wouldn't be on a journey with a purpose. So the question is, many people today have got no purpose, no clear idea of the direction that they're going in. One thing that comes with Jesus, there is a sense of purpose in your life and importance of your life. So the question is, what do you want me to do for you tonight? Jesus would ask that question, I'm sure. Just out of interest, he asked the same question to James and John in Mark 10. What do you want me to do for you? I'm sure Jesus has asked that question to a million people. And some have answered him, and some haven't. Tonight, I'd just like you to think that if he did ask that question, and he does, what answer would you give him? Now, some people, because of their personal circumstances, I think sometimes lose hope that things can change. This blind man teaches us all a lesson that he hadn't lost hope. He was in a gutter, he was in a bad place, his health was lousy, and he was begging on the street. And yet he continued to have hope in his heart on that day. And if Jesus asked that question, he still rescues so many people, all sorts of people, you, me. It's, you know, no one here is beyond God coming into their life. The hymn says, he makes the rebel a priest and a king. In Samuel, it says, he raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. Well, what a God is that that lifts us from the gutter. When God asks that question, don't say nothing. There may be a time when you can't hear what God's saying. While you can hear what God is saying, answer God. Don't leave it for another time. In that story by Charles Haddon, the conversion experience of Charles Spurgeon, he said that the clouds had gone, the darkness had gone, and he could see Christ. He could see sunshine. And that's an experience of one man, but it's also the experience of so many who one day they couldn't see Jesus, and then God opened their eyes. They saw Jesus hanging on the cross for them. Other people talk about Jesus, but can you see him? If you can't see Christ hanging on the cross for you, if you can't see God in heaven, then the diagnosis is that you are blind. We preach in this church that Jesus died on the cross, rose again from the dead, and is coming back again. The important thing is that Jesus is passing by and asks the question, what do you want me to do for you? I would plead with you. Ask that your sins be forgiven, your past forgiven. Acknowledge him as Lord, King in your life, and follow him. Jesus is passing by and asking the question, what do you want me to do for you? The important thing is to answer him now. Amen.